You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Welcome back, and it is November 14, 2022. If you're watching live with us on rumble.com, you can see I look like I'm kind of scattered and then running around. Well, for two reasons. One, both Quentin and I began to smell what smelled like electrical fire. That's not a good idea. I think we decided they'd just turn on the heating system for the building, and that's what we're smelling. You know, you get that smell. And secondly, I'm still pulling up new information coming out of Arizona, because you talk about somebody slow walking that election. Carrie Lake, and when I give you these numbers, this is based on what I just pulled up. This source is the Arizona Republic. And it's also including an opinion that if Arizona Republicans want to know where their party went wrong, look at State Treasurer Kimberly Yee. She is a Republican who won but was not endorsed by Donald Trump. She was the Republicans' biggest vote getter, apparently. She's one of the few statewide candidates not endorsed by Trump. She didn't run around with Carrie Lake and Blake Masters and the rest of the America First slate. She's now preparing for a second term. Lake, and they say, and again, this is an opinion piece from the Arizona Republic, Lake and the MAGA machine are preparing various conspiracy theories that how was the election stolen from them? A Republican consultant is being quoted as saying, Arizona is a conservative state. We're not a Trump state. It's that simple. And others' reports are saying he did need the Cheney votes in Arizona. Is that what this said? Yeah, part of it had did earlier. So as far as the Senate race, at last check, it's Senator Mark Kelly winning by 127,000 votes, and that Blake Masters got almost 180,000 fewer votes than Yee, the one I just told you that did win, the Republican not endorsed by Trump, winning for state treasurer. The key race for many is, of course, the Carrie Lake story. Lake at last report, trailing Katie Hobbs by 24,000 votes, just 160,000 of the 2.6 million left to be counted. I will say this. I mean, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but when votes keep coming in and coming in and coming in, and then they're dropped off, they had been counting, they're going to have to start all over, and then some got put into what they call drawer three, that they need to be verified before they can be counted. They might be duplicate and everything. That you could have a lot of mishandling. Let me put it that way. Are you suggesting fraud, Larry? I'm not suggesting fraud. Are you saying mistakes? That's possible. But right now, it does not look like Lake is going to win either, which is, I think, pretty surprising. Many have said she is also a vice presidential contender. Would Trump try to get her on board even after she lost? We'll see what his speech is tomorrow. By the way, there's a new poll taken that shows a YouGov poll found that Governor DeSantis is leading former President Trump by 7 points among voters who identify as strong Republicans. And to that extent, control of the U.S. House of Representatives still could be decided by a handful of close races, which they say could take weeks to determine. And guess where these are? This is in a state where they heavily rely on vote by mail, very liberal voting rules. That would be California. In fact, in Orange County, two incumbent Democrats are holding on to slim leads. Orange County used to be strong Republican. It's gone through a change. Another news, President Zelensky making an unannounced visit today to Kherson to celebrate The Ukrainians recapturing that city as the Russians pulled out. President Joe Biden meeting with the Chinese dictator today for about 3 hours in Bali, Indonesia, their first in-person meeting in 5 years, partly due to COVID. And he did not ask him a single question, apparently, about COVID. They talked about anything but that. While she has hundreds of thousands locked down in this country because of COVID, and we're still suffering the effects of it. Before we wrap up the next hour here, this coming hour, we're going to talk about a pro-transgender propaganda film aimed at children, titled Mama Has a Mustache. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Protesters gathered in Arizona this weekend to protest and cast doubt on the legitimacy of the electoral process there. Why? Because their candidate is losing.
I believe at this point we need to just have a new election at this point. And we need to do paper ballots and we need to do it all in one day and be done with it. We can't expect. It's an absurd notion to sit here and play this charade and act like after this counting that we won't have tainted results either way.
But democracy is not a static thing as we know. It lives and it breathes and must constantly be defended against those who would destroy it. We're still a young country. And make no mistake about it, on November 8th, millions of Americans went to the polls and they did exactly that. A lot of folks got it wrong.
A lot of folks got it wrong. That's Don Lemon Fruitcake on his now morning CNN program because his ratings were in the toilet for his late night program. And now they put him on the morning show, supposedly to beef up the morning show. I don't know what the numbers are. I could care less. But Don Lemon Fruitcake is saying the problem here is that everybody, so many people got it wrong. And he said protesters are gathering in Arizona. They're upset that this must be stolen from us because we were supposed to win. Everything said we were going to win. Kerry Lake should have walked away with it. I just read you some of the latest numbers that were indicating that she was still behind Hobbs. Not all votes are in, though. See, that's the issue. I mean, when you don't have all the votes in, when the state of Florida can count 7 to 8 million votes in one day and have it done, and most states were definitely done by the next day, and you still can't do it in Arizona and California. They got House races. House races are very small, select districts. You understand that. If it's a Senate candidacy or a race for governor Oh, well, that includes all cities and counties and so forth inside the state. But a congressional district is very small. It's built upon the census. That's why the new census every time comes around and decides how many are you going to have for your state. California apparently was, having some issues there anyway. The Fresno Bee reports two of the nation's closest congressional races that will determine control of the U.S. House drew even closer. That was according to updated reports that they're talking about were released Friday. So right now, where are we? Well, at last report, even CNN is saying there's still 19 races they just don't seem to have an answer for yet. 19 different congressional races. If this is a matter that I saw a quote, I believe it was attributed to Kerry Lake. I don't have it here in front of me. If we get 53% of those votes that still haven't been counted, we win. And the latest number that she got is something like 51.5%. In other words, if you put a number on there, that's going to be just a little short every time. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but when you can't seem to get everything done quickly and rapidly, and the other point being in Arizona, the Secretary of State was also running for governor. She was also the one in charge of the elections. Does that not sound like you're not really going to put the fox in the chicken house, are you? Yeah, we did. There's going to be a lot of bloodletting and everything. Well, we're just, I'm sure they'll all do things properly and, expect the fact that they have, as a fox, they don't have to attack all the chickens. They might take one, maybe two, maybe, well, hell, they may take all of them before it's over with. On CNN and on this early morning show, Don Lemon also had on Frank Luntz, who is a pollster. Now, he also, I want to point out to you, often writes a lot of things that are supportive of Republican efforts. He had pointed out that, I believe in it was one report estimation that 233 to 240 House seats would be won by the Republicans. They only need 218. And many of us were throwing numbers around that they're going to be at least 40 to 44 Republican seats, could be higher. And right now they're still trying to decide if they can even reach 218. And as I said, 19 of these seats are still being checked and verified in California. That might figure into that. If the GOP had won that 233-240 House seats, Luntz had pointed out that'd be more than they won in 1994. That was the middle of Bill Clinton's first term, when we basically had Newt Gingrich and the rest of them come up with a contract for America that put Republicans in massive numbers. And he had also predicted that in the end, when all the votes are finally tallied, that would include Georgia at this point, the GOP would control the Senate. They're not going to control the Senate. They will be lucky if Herschel Walker can get in to have a 50-50 tie again. And I remind you that some of those in the Senate with R's behind their names, they're not real Republicans. But Frank Luntz, the pollster and communications expert, was saying, why did it go so wrong?
There is a fear that they did not include enough Republicans in their samples, because we knew from 2016, 2018, and even 2020 that Trump voters tended not to respond to pollsters because they thought that the results would be used against them. So there is an effort to, as you say, over-index this time. That's number one. Number two is that people came to the polls and they finally decided enough is enough. About 8-9% of the public changes there. They come in undecided, and they have to decide what they're going to do at that moment. And they come in potentially wanting to vote one way, and they end up voting the other.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. Folks, that go, it's kind of like when you were looking at a race between Hillary and Trump, And you were saying you were undecided. How could you possibly be undecided between those two? You can say the same thing about Trump and Biden and any of the others. But I mean, some things, like, what rock are you living under? You don't have some kind of an opinion. But maybe they get in there and just suddenly a flash of light hits them and they suddenly have their answer. Or they gave false answers. That's the other thing that he didn't get into. But again, he's involved deeply in taking these polls in different ways. And when you start looking at some of these reactions that have happened now that Trump, candidates did not do so well, there are several things. Now, I point out to you previously, some of this involved Democrat operatives putting money and votes into the primaries for Republicans. They could cross over. They could vote for a Republican candidate they knew they could beat. And it was probably one endorsed by Trump. That's why he had so many of his primary candidates win. That maybe Democrats were helping support it. So he was looking, hey, look at me. I'm a kingmaker. I'm making it all happen. And I said at the same time, too, you know, he certainly has a good track record if it's legitimate. If it's legitimate. Well, if you look at the way it came out, it wasn't so legitimate. It was kind of rigged. I mean, pick the weakest person to go against your Democrat. That's why you were hearing early that maybe Republicans did not have a good group of candidates to put up. Specifically now, and it's going to come down to Georgia, December 6th, Herschel Walker against Raphael Warnock. If folks really understood Warnock, if they really cared, they would not want him in because he's so far liberal. He's just inches from being part of the squad. But he also has some various issues, personal issues that came up involving Herschel Walker, specifically allegations of paying for an abortion. I want you to hear a collection of GOP voices that was put together by MSNBC. Now, I don't have time to break out each of them for you, but you're going to hear from different ones. And one of them is reading a piece that was written by... for the Wall Street Journal, maybe Wall Street Journal editorial. They're kind of reading that, and then you're going to hear various persons, including Laura Ingraham and then former New York Governor Pataki. Listen to this, please.
Part of the problem, I don't think there's any question in my mind, that hurt Republicans all over, is Donald Trump.
Some are also knuckleheads with strange beliefs and closets full of problems. Many of these remarkably weak candidates came courtesy of Donald Trump.
There's a very high correlation between MAGA candidates and big losses.
A true leader understands that it's time to step off the stage.
Going into 2024, the Republicans are going to be looking for candidates who are focused on winning, not just making a point or settling a score.
We have a tremendous opportunity going forward. Donald Trump should not be a part of that. I just wish he would ride off into the sunset.
That was former New York Republican Governor Pataki saying, I'd like to see Trump just ride off into the sunset. And Laura Ingraham saying, this is not about getting revenge and ego. And I told you in the news and commentary a moment ago, a YouGov poll conducted between November 9 and 11 found that Florida Governor DeSantis is now leading the former President Trump by 7 points as to which one of those would you take for your candidate. That was among voters identifying as strong Republicans. And then back to Frank Luntz, the polling expert, said there was still one other factor in play.
The independents, and this is where the Republicans have to take very close analysis to, the independents usually break 55-45 Republican. If they break 60-40, Republicans win. In this case, they broke 50-50. That's a real problem for the GOP. Major drop. And one more.
Yeah.
Republicans actually got 5 million more votes for the House than the Democrats. 5 million. So why don't the results show themselves in the congressional races? The answer, redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
That it had a bigger impact against the GOP than anybody realized, and you could not know this until election day.
That's his opinion. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has his reason as to why so many Democrats won.
Why did we win?
There are a bunch of reasons. We had great candidates. They had flawed candidates. As I mentioned, the American people really began to worry that this MAGA group was controlling the Republican Party and our democracy was at risk. But the other reason we won is we talked about things people cared about, reducing the cost of prescription drugs, finally dealing with climate, student debt. Young people voted more heavily than people thought because of those issues. And so we won, and I hope I can convince my non-MAGA Republican colleagues in the Senate. The reason we won is we got something done on issues. And when I go back to the Senate, I am going to tell my party the reason we won, and they know it, the candidates know it, is we focused on things that matter to everyday Americans, while Republicans, the MAGA group, seem to be talking about the big lie and throwing these balls of fire over the wall. And I am going to reach out and say to the non-MAGA Republicans in the Senate, work with us. We can get some things done for the American people. Reject this MAGA group, which has a lot of strength in the Republican Party, which some of them even went along with and said words, you know, accommodating to them. But work with us, and we can actually get something done.
Yeah, like getting Keystone Pipeline running again, making us energy independent. You're not going to do any of that, not with the squad still controlling your party. Joe Biden, President Biden, said, right now, with the way things are going, I don't think we're going to have enough votes to codify Roe v. Wade unless we can, something happens inside the House that basically some of the House Republicans decide, okay, I'll go along with that. They better not. They better not. Speaking of President Biden, he just finished earlier today a three-hour meeting with President Xi. And he came out talking really stern. That's the way the Biden said it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. My love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I just met in person with Xi Jinping of the People's Republic of China. We had, we had an open and candid conversation about our intentions and our priorities. It was clear. He was clear and I was clear. They will defend American interests and values, promote universal human rights, and stand up for the international order and work in lockstep with our allies and partners. We're going to compete vigorously, but I'm not looking for conflict. I'm looking to manage this competition responsibly. And I want to make sure that every country abides by the international rules of the road. And we discussed that. Our One China policy has not changed. We oppose unilateral change in the status quo by either side, and we're committed to maintaining the peace and stability in the Taiwan Straits. We discussed Russia's aggression against Ukraine, reaffirmed our shared belief in the threat or the use of nuclear weapons is totally unacceptable, and I asked that Secretary Blinken travel to China to follow up on our discussions and continue keeping the lines of communication open between our two countries.
So there is President Biden in the area of Bali, Indonesia, where they're holding the G20 summit starting tomorrow. Every country is there except for Russia because of Ukraine. Now, it's not clear if the Russian premier will be involved video conference or not. But apparently Biden did meet with Chinese dictator Xi Jinping for their first in-person meeting in 5 years. Part of that delayed, of course, because of COVID. Now, you heard what President Biden said and how strong he was in saying, you know, I made it very clear this is only what we're going to tolerate. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to change anything. I made it clear. And he said, we're ready to work with them if that's what you desire. Neither one of them mentioned coronavirus and the pandemic and what it's done to the world economy, in addition to what Biden has done to this country when he decided to walk away from fossil fuels as fast as we could until we realized, oh, wait, we might still need some of them. Neither one of them. And for Biden not to even, apparently, that was not even brought up in their conversation. This is your first time for your first in-person meeting with the Chinese premier dictator in 5 years, and you won't bring up COVID and coronavirus and the damage that was caused? Well, Larry, they're trying to be diplomats. They're trying to walk around the nasty things. So Taiwan is not considered a nasty thing, right? So slavery and using Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps to build and create shoes for Nike and other sports groups or whatever, that's not considered, you know, too delicate of a subject they should approach either, or is it? I don't know. They didn't discuss that either. All we got was pretty much blah, 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 blah. And he said, I believe there's a little substitute for face-to-face discussions. He said, I'd first met him when I was a vice president. That was a long time ago. And, of course, son Hunter was also probably nearby for that meeting. China continues to have strict lockdowns. Some of its major cities trying to stop any spread of coronavirus, and yet they don't even want to acknowledge it. Now, the other thing that's going on here, I told you in the previous segment, we're talking about what happened with the elections. Biden said today he doesn't think Democrats will maintain majority of the House, so therefore they could not codify abortion rights. He said, but I don't think we're going to make it. And I keep looking at these, what did I tell you, 19 seats in California. They still haven't, they're still bothering to count. When you've got votes still being counted this late after the election in a congressional district, methinks is a reason to raise some questions. What about you? All right, coming up, a child's film titled Mama Has a Mustache, getting children to buy into transgender.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, for our next presentation, we're going to be having a short screening of Mama Has a Mustache. I'm going to introduce you to Sally Rubin. Sally is an Emmy-nominated gender nonconforming professor and documentary filmmaker based here in L.A. and a proud parent of a fabulous 8-year-old. Her most recent film, Mama Has a Mustache, premiered last year at Outfest and has played all over the world, including the screenings in Telluride and beyond, and is currently playing a key role in the national dialogue around gender identity in children. Everyone, please welcome Sally Rubin to the stage.
We kind of chatted about how it might fit into the conference. And I remember him saying, you know, I think it would be nice to screen it maybe early in the day. Let's just let people smile and laugh a little bit and bring a tone of lightness and playfulness to this conversation around gender identity, which can be so heavy sometimes and doesn't have to be. And, you know, this was pre-DeSantis, don't say gay, all of this wave of anti-trans and anti-gender identity-based legislation in schools that we've seen over these past few months.
Right there, she should be called out and said that's a lie. If you're going to try to promote something and you're going to claim that this is good for kids, it's good they be exposed and everything, I would suggest you stay more credible by not talking about DeSantis and his Don't Say Gay bill. There was no Don't Say Gay bill. This is, again, the left at its finest when it gets everything into its echo chamber and it repeats it over and over again. This is legislation in Florida that said if things of certain nature are going to be presented to kids, one, they have to be of an appropriate age to see or view or read such material, and secondly, their parents need to be notified and will be notified. There's nothing in the bill that says don't say gay. Not a single word. Not even a collection of words. But that's what they were pushing. I've told you before, and to the fact that it's some members of the church where I belong have called me out for it. They, you know, trying to tell me, hey, you know what the Bible says? I know what the Bible says. I said, but the point is, I have gay friends, and I actually have some relatives who either in the past or now declared that they're gay. They're not preying upon children. That's the thing where I'd really have a break with them. But they don't like some of the way this push is going because they know the non-gays, and as they're pushing this to them, and to children in particular, they're lying to them. In fact, two of my gay friends are strong conservatives. They're among the log cabin Republicans. But when she says, when DeSantis and his Don't Say Gay bill, it just puts everything so serious. Well, it is serious. There's nothing funny and humorous and light about it. And yet she has this video that she's presenting. Now, she was speaking at the 12th annual EDGY, E-D-G-Y. E-D-G-Y. Here's what it stands for. E, embracing. D, diversity. Of the G, which is G-L-B-T-Q. The Y is youth and families. So that's what EDGY stands for. Embracing the diversity of LGBTQ youth and families. And they're all about pushing their agenda and pushing it and pushing it. If you're pushing it to an adult, I could care less. The adult, if they buy into it, that's fine. But when you start putting it in front of children, and now she has this documentary video, I'm going to let you hear about a 30-second clip of it. I don't even know how long it's supposed to be. You're not seeing the pictures of the images, but basically it's all cartoon-like and kids changing faces or changing clothing, putting up like they have these paste-on dolls, you know, when you might get them and you could take off that dress and put another one on them that girls are played with, some boys too. And they're just all kind of intermixing things. Like, it's all just fun. It's fun and games, right? But it's deeper than that. You know that and I know that. And they know it. The kids don't know it. But anyway, she's getting all kinds of acclaim, and so let's listen to this little clip of this interview with kids and how it starts off. I'll help you understand it. They're asking, basically, can you be a boy and a girl, or what's the difference? Let's go there first.
Can you be a girl and have a boy body, or be a boy and have a girl body?
Yes, that's transgender.
Can this person be a parent?
Yes, my dad.
Like, I'm not really a boy or a girl.
But God is it. I love myself.
Mama has a mustache.
Mommy has a mustache.
Mommy has a mustache. It's all giggling and cute little kids. And the question, can your father be a parent or something like that? Well, of course he can be a parent. Did the question is, can he bear a child? And this child wouldn't be able to answer it. They're too young. The person asking the question, they know what the answer is. I know a couple, and we're more than friends. One happens to be a relative at this point, and they decided, they're both women, they decided they wanted to have a child. And one of them agreed to be fertilized, and the child will be born probably in March or so. I'm not in favor of it, but at the same time, they're adults, they're making the decision, and I do believe every child should have a loving home and family, and I think they will provide that. There are kids in heterosexual families that they're not being loved and cared for. And, of course, you have to worry about, well, are they going to be indoctrinated in the process? Well, how many kids that are in heterosexual situations are indoctrinated one way or the other? So that's a very difficult area to get into. But what this is, this whole thing and the documentary and the film, it's pushing the kids it's okay to have transgender surgery and puberty blockers. And in fact, some are now saying what we'll do is we will have these guys, anybody who wants to go through transgender, we'll give them the puberty blockers and let them try that for a while and see if they want to change. But here's the key. Two quotes that appear inside that documentary you didn't get to see because it's video. One is Leslie Newman, author of Heather Has Two Mommies. She said, I had a smile on my face even when I had tears in my eyes. The film is nothing short of revolutionary. The other one, Susan Stryker, identified as a transgender activist. The sense of freedom these kids feel, their gender creativity, is a delight to behold. They have no idea that's what they're talking about. They don't. There are adults that still don't understand it. And then Rubin, Sally Rubin, the creator of this, says, you have to keep this in mind.
I think that kids feel that gender is something, even if they're open to the non-binary conversation, there's so much an idea that we need to sort of get somewhere and then sort of lock ourselves in, put ourselves into a little box. Because that's what everybody tells them to do, grown-ups tell them to do. And that's what we do as grown-ups. They follow us. You know, what are your pronouns? Well, I'm this, instead of, I don't know what I am. Today I'm this, tomorrow I'm going to be something else. You know, so I've worked really hard in my outreach work to work with kids around realizing that gender is a moving target.
She is a professor at Chapman University, and gender is a moving target. Plus, she just admitted kids' mind will change day to day. She takes it a step farther.
Today I'm this, tomorrow I'm going to be something else. You know, so I've worked really hard in my outreach work to work with kids around realizing that gender is a moving target. It might change according to the week, the day, the hour, or the minute. And how many of you, I mean, there's our parents in here, I know, who've seen, you know, your kid one day likes pink and everything's pink. Pink, my wall's pink. I want that pink bunny. Only put me in pink. And then the 2 months later, they only like brown or black. At least this is my daughter. You know, now I have to repaint her walls. She doesn't like purple anymore.
So what are you going to do after you chop off their breast? How are you going to put that back? After you put them in puberty blockers and castrated them? Bayer is a sponsor of this and helping to create it. Pharmaceutical group, of course, obviously often identified with aspirin, but also creates different forms of transgender changing drugs. Coming up, I want you to hear from Mark Levin regarding the midterm elections.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So two scenarios here from my perspective. It's possible the red wave could come but in 2024, that Florida was the tip of the spear. It was a complete blowout under the great governor, America's governor, Ron DeSantis. And that might be something that is going to spread throughout the country if people govern like conservatives. The Senate will be mathematically positioned for Republicans to have big gains. You'll have 2 more years of the Biden disasters, energy, schools, border, economy, inflation, cultural disasters, and all the rest. It's not going to get better in this country. It's going to get worse. Or, on the dark side, and it's certainly conceivable, that the culture rot is so ubiquitous that there's simply not enough American-loving patriots to win elections. That's a possibility, too. We'll know in 2 years. So that's my take, for better or worse.
And for better or worse, that's frightening, isn't it? The words of Mark Levin. The red wave might come in 2 years, 2024, or then again. By then, the cult, the woke, will have so much control of this nation, we will disappear. We will become socialist and moving toward communism at a rapid pace. Now, with that in context, left-wing activist and filmmaker Michael Moore said the other day that Republicans didn't have a red wave because of voter anger over conservative majority of the eliminating national abortion rights. There is no constitutional national abortion rights, period. They will never get the fact right. It's just like when they say, you're against immigrants. I'm not against immigrants. I'm against illegal immigrants. But anyway, Michael Moore, for all of his smart remarks and so forth, smartest remarks, if I'm going to try to find the smartest way to say it, he said, what we're going to have at the end, he said, a religious edict that American public is to follow the rules of the bishops of the Catholic Church. This is a Democrat. Does he not know that JFK faced those same complaints when he ran? Oh, he's a Catholic. We'll all be ruled by the Pope. Michael Moore is resurrecting that now and saying, we're going to end up being following the top religious leaders. That would be a theocracy. A theocracy is a form of government with one or more deities of some type recognized as the supreme ruling, giving human authorities what to do of day-to-day affairs. Isn't it interesting how things twist in time and history? Michael Moore, left-wing Democrat, that you had thought would be a Democrat supporter for JFK if he were running, now says, man, you don't want somebody that might be beholden to the Pope. And then in the midst of all this, and we're still, I'm just looking right now, and I don't see any, I don't see any update on any of the counts that I can count on that would matter right now. I'm looking again some of the various latest reference Arizona. The projection is the GOP will win the House. Then investigations into the Biden regime will start. NBC News is projecting the GOP wins the House of Representatives 219 to 216. 219 to 216. They needed 218. They got the one. Wayne Allen Root, writing for the Gateway Pundit as a column, he said, what's so obvious is that the outcome, if the outcome makes no sense, if the outcome is literally impossible, then it is what it is. Forget proof. You know it. You saw it. You felt it. You experienced it happen. It's real. And he said the 2022 midterm was just stolen. Just like 2020. Those are the words of Wayne Allen Root. There will be many echoing that sentiment. Carrie Lake apparently getting ready to file legal challenges to her loss in Arizona to Hobb, Kathy Hobb, who was Secretary of State overseeing the election. And a lot of the votes were slowly just trickling in and trickling in. And as if someone's waiting to say, how many more are we going to need to create so we stay ahead of the count? I'm just suggesting that. I don't know, and you don't either. But it is that old saying, kind of what Wayne Allen Root's referring to here. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And so here's Wayne Allen Root already saying that this election was stolen. He said, if you believe Democrats made a miracle happen without cheating, rigging, and stealing, I have a bridge to sell you over the Atlantic Ocean in the Vegas desert. He talked about all the polls showing a gigantic landslide victory, weighing ahead, crime being the biggest issue. CNN's own exit polls showed GOP making gains almost every voting group, men, women, white women, blacks, Hispanics, young, everyone. But the area that they did lose on was white women, college-educated, and first-time voters. And maybe abortion was the Achilles heel in this case. As always, thank you for listening. Remember, you can watch us at rumble.com. If you didn't get to do it now, go there and see it at your pleasure. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.